Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 231, recorded December 22nd, 2014.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Merry Fishmas. What, a swimmy new year?
Yeah, there you go.
I guess that one will be next week. Next week will be a swimmy new year.
Yeah.
But that's okay. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, we've got all
kinds
of people.
Santa fish? Maybe it's a Christmas rass. He, like, puts on a beard and a hat and brings sinking pellets and wafers to all the good little fry.
Don't forget shrimp pellets. Yeah.
Frozen brine shrimp.
And for the naughty fish, he brings them those Plaster of Paris weekend feeders.
Yeah, see? He
puts that in their stocking.
Yep.
Okay, somebody's going to sue me over that one, I'm sure. Okay.
No, they will just laugh.
All right, so.
You didn't give me a list, so.
Oh, I totally did. There's a list up at the top.
But it's not a list up. Oh, it's a list up at the top. It's just, like, really spread out over, like, 6 inches on the page.
Sorry, it's because I was changing formats.
Okay, so we have Jeremiah in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Robert in Tallahassee, Florida, and Scott in Fort Worth, Texas, and Tony in New York.
Yep, quite a list today. Mm-hmm. That's good. Before we go to that, I just wanted to point out a couple of things.
Oh, okay, first we have Russ in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention and send out my thanks to the Aquarimaxers who have been purchasing the ebook. The Aquarimax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods, and for posting reviews on Amazon. The last time that I checked, we had, I think, 3 reviews up that were nice reviews, and
yeah, nobody said that it sucked.
Yeah, everybody gave some good reviews, and let's see, I think in the aquarium, fish and aquariums area on the ebooks available on Amazon, we were number 31.
Well, hey.
And hey, there are more than 32 books on. No, there are several hundred, I think. So
well,
that's not bad.
That's pretty good.
I think there are several hundred. So that's pretty good. And I don't know where we are now. I need to go back and check. But I've been trying to keep tabs on that. And so, once again, many thanks to all Aquarimaxers who have purchased our book, and especially if you left reviews. That's been a good thing. So
okay.
Helps drive the popularity of the book.
Yep, that's a good thing. Alrighty, should we do Jeremiah first?
Yeah, let's start with Jeremiah.
And Jeremiah actually sent us a video of his herp room, mm-hmm. his reptiles and one amphibian.
Yeah, at our request.
Yes. So it's like an Aquarimax world premiere video, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
So
we should have a red carpet for Monkey the Crested Gecko.
And I have to apologize, Jeremiah, that I didn't see this sooner. You know, being with we were behind on episodes, and so this is a couple of weeks old, and
oh,
I missed
really?
It.
Oh,
really? Yeah.
Dang.
I missed it.
That's okay.
At the
it
time.
Came just in time to be a Christmas present.
Right. But we watched it today, and it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Got to meet Jeremiah's crested gecko.
And thanks to his wife for filming.
Yeah. And his corn snake and his
Jungle carpet python,
his Pac-Man frog, a couple of gargoyle geckos.
And a Chinese cave gecko.
Yeah, it was fun. So, check it out.
So, we'll put the video up, what, on the show page, on the Facebook page, too?
We'll put a link probably to both. Yeah.
Okay.
It's to his YouTube video, so we'll link mm-hmm. to his YouTube video from our Facebook page and from our show page.
Okay. So, thank you, Jeremiah. You have spiffy critters.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to see them. Thank you for responding to our request and giving us a tour. They were fun to see and
yes.
to hear about.
And this is actually lots of videos for you guys this week because Robert in Tallahassee, Florida also sent us videos. He sent us 3 videos about life in his stock tank.
Mm-hmm. He's got an outdoor stock tank, something you can do all year round where he is.
Not here. Although it's actually not been so bad this year.
No, the weather's been pretty nice, but not as nice as it in Tallahassee this time of year.
True.
But he's got his guppy tank out there. Not just guppies in it, but that's the dominant piscine life form in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And, And it's fun to watch them.
Snails too, or yep. mystery snails, whatever you want to mm-hmm. call them.
And it depends on, you know, lots of people call them different things, but around here they usually call them gold apple snails or gold mystery snails. Some people call them Briggs because of the scientific name that they used to have.
Did they change it?
I believe they had an identity crisis. They're always crisis. Changing them, but it's the same snail.
Well, you know how I feel about taxonomy.
Yes. And some of the plants in his stock tank. And then he's feeding the guppies some algae wafers. He got them on a wire, which is an interesting way to do it.
Oh, yeah. He, like, skewered them, and he's leading the guppies around, and they're just following it wherever it's going.
Yeah. That way you don't lose the, you know, the algae wafer. It doesn't sink down to the bottom and dissolve into nothing, you know?
It's kind of nice. We were wondering, though, did you skewer them on the wire while they were dry, or did you soak them first? Because it seems like a lot of algae wafers would just kind of break into bits.
Yeah, they'd be kind of brittle.
Yeah.
So we were wondering exactly what method you used to attach them.
So you can let us know.
Yeah, it was a good idea. I'm just wondering how you did it.
So we'll put those up also, along with Jeremiah's video.
Yep, we'll put all the links up.
Mm-hmm. And you can have a Cormax video party.
Yeah.
Make some popcorn. It was Robert had to comment on the frog bit too,
oh, yes,
right?
He did, because we had been talking about how I put some Amazon frog bit in our 20-gallon tank a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and how in the past we'd had it before, but our amphipods ate it all.
And he says, last year I threw out buckets of frog bit almost every week. Is he talking about his stock tank?
I think so.
Too? Okay. Mm-hmm. He says, no frog bit this year. First it got attacked by aphids, and then something started eating it. I'm betting caterpillars, though I never caught them in the act. Last year I picked hundreds of them off the plants, but they didn't become a problem until it was well established.
Hmm. Interesting. So some caterpillars.
So what was well established? The caterpillars
the frog
or the
bit,
plants?
I guess. I don't know. If it's it, it's probably the frog bit as a collective singular noun.
Mm. I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess the caterpillars would be they.
Right.
There's your grammar lesson. Okay, back to frog bit.
Okay.
Are you going to comment?
Oh. Oh, I'm just interested that I guess you're dealing with a whole different set of pestiferous problems in outside. Because we don't really have to deal with aphids indoors, at least in aquariums. I mean, I've had aphids on other plants, but yeah, I never thought of that.
It's kind of sad they ate it all.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's funny that his disappeared entirely, just like mine did, because it's such a prolific
Does
plant.
Does it just kind of
when it goes like
live
crazy.
Out its life cycle and then it's done?
No, because it just you know reproduces vegetatively mm-hmm. and keeps doing that.
I wonder if it gets eaten to a certain point, it can't recover.
Well, that's certainly true. Yes, if it gets
enough
of the plant
of it
is damaged, it's not going to be able to grow back. Right. Mm-hmm. I noticed something in our tank is eating the roots. I think the barbs are nibbling on the roots.
Naughty things.
But not enough to hurt it. In general, I mean, not enough to hurt
They're
the general
get
population.
Weekend feeders in their stockings. You're laughing at me again.
No, it's funny.
That's okay. You can laugh at me. That's what I'm here for.
I'm not laughing at you.
You can laugh at my comments. That's
okay,
a good thing.
That's fine.
It means
yes,
they're
I
funny.
Can do that.
Okay. So, thank you for sending in the videos, Robert.
Yes.
And we have a quick email from Scott in Fort Worth, Texas. He says, hey, guys, how about some pictures of your new goldies? I'd love to see them. So, you put them up today, right?
I posted them today.
On
yes,
the Facebook page?
I did. Thank you, Scott, for the suggestion on the Facebook page.
On the Facebook page.
I'll probably put them on the show page, too.
So, Rory and Pondy are up in all their Doctor Who glory.
Yep, I put up one, let's see.
We need to, like, Photoshop a sonic screwdriver in there or something.
I think I put two pictures of each fish and then one picture of them both together.
Yeah.
So, it's a little album. Mm-hmm.
That's a little goldfish album.
It's a little hard to get good stills of them, but I tried. And they're okay. I mean, you could see them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not too fuzzy.
No, they look
so
good. Okay. It's time for that station break thingy when I tell you how you can play an active part in the Aquarimax community. If you want your questions or comments featured on the show, send us an email at info@aquarimax.com or call and leave a message at 801-477-0629. You can also subscribe to the Aquarimax YouTube channel, like our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter.
And now for a blatant but extremely brief plug.
Our ebook, The Aquarimax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods, is available on Amazon.com for $2.99. So, we have a nice long email from Tony in New York.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Hello, Aquarimax. Thanks for talking about RO water on your last show. I love your idea, and I'm going to pursue Rift Lake cichlids in the near future. But first, here is the story of an amazing Christmas miracle that I'd love to share with you. So, one day, I am sitting in my boss's office at work. True story. He has this amazing reef aquarium. It's always been a topic of conversation for us since we're both into fish. But today he says to me, 'So, Tony from New York,' because, you know, his boss has lots of Tonys all over the country, so he's got to specify." Yeah. No, okay. I'm just joking. "So, Tony from New York, how would you like to have this fish tank?" This is your Christmas bonus, right?
Wow.
Wow. "This is no small tank, either. It is 125 gallons, and it is stocked with live rock, corals, a clownfish, a butterfly, a tang, a little goby, and just an amazing number of microfauna and flora inhabiting every part of the aquarium."
Well, can you do that list again for me? Just, I want to hear it again.
Okay.
I'm going to picture it better this time. Okay. I hear it.
See, Tony needs a really big stocking for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
"Live rock, corals, a clownfish, a butterfly, a tang, a little goby, and an amazing number of microfauna and flora inhabiting every part of the aquarium."
Cool.
Mm-hmm. See, Tony doesn't get weekend feeders. Tony is a good boy. He's done a very good job as a queer lad, and he gets an awesome tank in his stocking.
Yeah.
So, of course, I say yes! And thus begins my foray into saltwater fish keeping. So I decided that the best way to move the fish, live rock, corals, and tiny denizens, I love that you just said denizens, would be to purchase and set up a second tank in my basement first, then ready the salinity, temperature, and so forth. With both tanks in sync, I would be able to transport the live rock and the rest of the tank inhabitants with the absolute minimum fuss. A couple of days ago, I acquired a wonderful 100-gallon used tank and stand, which I am cleaning out right now. I am also rigging up my PVC drainage water delivery system, because once that tank's against the wall, it will never, ever move again, I think.
That's quite wise.
Yes. This is wildly exciting for this to have happened at exactly the time I was preparing my fish room anyway. My boss said that he hasn't done a water change in over a year, which amazes me. The bio load is low, and it seems that the live rock and the protein skimmer do all the work. Even so, I expect to do more frequent water changes than that, and have invested in an RO unit from Bulk Reef Supply. Living the dream! This is so exciting!
Wow,
that is super awesome! See, this is our miracle on Aquarimax Street.
Yeah, definitely. That is really cool. Congratulations, Tony.
That is really, really cool.
Doesn't get much better than that.
No, congratulations indeed.
Yeah. That, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a really good idea. That's about the best way you could do it.
How often do you have to do water changes in salt water? Is it the same as fresh water? Does it have a different schedule?
Well, when you say salt water, that's an awfully lot of different sorts of things that you could be talking about.
Okay, reef tank.
But a reef tank with a low bio load that has live rock and photosynthetic organisms in it, and a protein skimmer, is going to require less frequent water changes than, you know, fish only with live rock with a whole bunch of puffers who eat a bunch of heavy meat all the time, you know?
Oh,
it's going to be very different.
So it just depends on your setup and what's in the tank.
Right. Now, I do agree with Tony that it would be better to do partial water changes more frequently than that. Mm-hmm. But
it doesn't have to be twice a week like it does with the goldfish, is what you're saying.
Right. And it doesn't have to be as big a change.
Just a little bit?
Yeah. Typically, I mean, for one thing, part of the reason that it's not done in such a large tank is that think of a 25% water change in a 125-gallon tank.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of
water. That's a lot of water.
A lot of salt water. How expensive would that be?
Yeah.
Because you have to use RO.
You have to mix up all the salt.
You have to mix up all the salt in a bucket or something. Mm-hmm. You know, a big bucket, like a 55-gallon drum kind of thing.
Right.
And then you have to you have to use RO water as the base water for it.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of salt mix, and that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But then the protein skimmer really does remove a lot of the wastes. The live rock processes, you know, the wastes that it doesn't remove, like, really pretty efficiently. Mm-hmm. And then photosynthetic organisms also
kind of like having a planted tank.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So in a way, it's similar to a Wallstead tank.
Oh, I guess that makes
in
sense.
In some ways.
It's its own little ecosystem.
In the sense that it's yeah, mm-hmm. a lot of the wastes that build up in the water are being actually removed from it. I mean, you can't really compare it to a Wallstead system directly in that, oh, this is taking this process is taking place of this process exactly, but mm-hmm. in the sense that a lot of the issues that you would have to worry about in a normal, you know, a saltwater tank that doesn't have all those things going on we just talked about, mm-hmm. that makes a difference. And then the microfauna in there also makes a difference. Uneaten food is not likely to sit there and rot in a tank like that because you've got the little pods eating it, mm-hmm. the amphipods and the isopods and the copepods, and there
we
are probably
call them podlings,
bristle worms and stuff and other things that are going to be eating it, so you're not going to have to worry about uneaten food per se. It's going to get processed pretty well, and I don't know if there are macroalgae was growing in that tank or not, but if there are corals, I mean, they're using nitrates and, you know, wastes right. like that from the water too, so helps.
I guess that would make sense.
Yeah. So he's already got his RO unit set up, and once he gets this 100-gallon, and, you know, all he has to do is, like he said, match the parameters, and then they can acclimate with a minimum of stress when he moves mm-hmm. them over. Now, he'd still probably want to drip acclimate them because there are going to be some differences in the water quality and so mm-hmm. on. One, because he's going from an established tank to a non-established tank. That's going to make a difference.
So I'm guessing, is the idea kind of get the one at home set up and then put everything in that one so that you can drain the other one and bring it home and then reset that one up? Is that kind of the idea?
I think so. Okay. And then he can always use that 100.
As a quarantine.
As a quarantine tank or whatever. Well, a quarantine tank. It's probably too big to use as a quarantine tank unless he's going to use it for really big things. But
sharks. Just get a shark to him.
It would be perfect for his rift-like cichlids.
That's true. 100
gallons.
Not if he keeps it salt, though.
No, but I'm just saying,
afterwards,
if,
yeah.
Once he moves the fish back into the original 125, then he can use the 100 for rift-like cichlids, no problem.
That would be neat.
Yeah. That's a nice size tank for rift-like cichlids. It's ideal. So, yeah.
And then, Tony, when you have your room all set up, you can put a yoga mat down and do yoga in your fish room because it will be a very zen, happy place.
It'll be a super tranquil place.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make us a video.
Yeah.
As soon as you get your tank.
Fishy yoga. You can market that.
Well, I was thinking more of the fish tank rather than the actual yoga practice.
I know, I was joking.
Really?
It was a joke.
I didn't get that. I was getting a total serious vibe from you.
I know. Well, I was just seeing if I could fool you.
Okay.
Sometimes it's good for me to do that. Okay, so he has a PS. He says, I also wanted to congratulate you on adding Rory to your aquarium, and I fully appreciate your idea to create a Doctor Who TARDIS/fish tank. Yay! While I also agree that Fangs and Fings is the best thing to come out of Britain, I have to say that Doctor Who is a close second. Though I have to say that we also adore the British comedy Are You Being Served? Oh, that was a funny one, too. I haven't seen that in years, but I remember it being very funny. The stories are intricate but silly, and how can you go wrong with colorful characters like Mr. Humphrey, Captain Peacock, and Mrs. Slocum, who we all think is brilliant and has all the best quotes?
I think I've seen that one, too. It's been a long time.
There was a girl in my dorm floor my freshman year who had it on all the time, and I remember seeing episodes of it in there, and it was funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. British comedies and British TV shows are just cool.
Yep, that's true. Well, Tony, congratulations once again. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm. And
can I tell a little story?
Yeah, tell us a story.
Okay. This is a gecko story.
Oh, okay. A gecko story. Yeah. Okay. Do I know the story?
Yes.
Okay.
This week had two more gecko eggs hatch.
Oh, yes.
And that has become a fairly commonplace occurrence at our house. Gecko eggs hatching, but this is the neat thing. I got to watch one of them hatch.
Almost got it on film.
Almost got it on film. Took a picture of it while the little thing was breaking through the shell. And you could see the little cracks and see it push against
really
it a little
cool.
bit. So, and everybody got to see that, but everybody was in the room and it kind of
got
freaked out and stopped doing anything. So everybody left the room except I was still there. And I was watching, and I looked away for just a minute, looked back, and the head was out of the egg. And then I called our youngest daughter because she said she really wanted to see it hatch. So I called her, and she was coming up the stairs. And as she came up the stairs, the gecko, as she was coming up the stairs, the gecko just shot out, like projected itself from the egg, boom, at high velocity, flew out of the egg.
Yeah, I'm glad human babies don't do that. We'd have problems.
Yeah, flew out of the egg, and it plummeted down to the bottom of the vivarium, which was only about 12 inches high, landed on the nice, soft, springy substrate, and of course it didn't weigh very much. And it was unharmed and just doing completely fine, but it was quite an amazing sight to see, I gotta say.
It was pretty neat.
Yeah. Wow. So that's the first time I've had the good fortune to see one of our own gecko eggs hatch. There you go.
That was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Do we have anything else reptile-ish?
I don't think so, and nothing else fishy for now, but just go check out the pictures of Rory and Pondy on our on the Facebook.
And we'll put the videos up for you to watch. As well as all the other videos
that we mentioned in this week's episode. And it's time...
For what?
...to wish everybody a Merry Fishmas.
Yes.
Or a Merry Christmas, or Happy Hanukkah, or whatever holiday you happen to be celebrating now, or whether...
Celebrate it with fish!
Yeah. And if you're not celebrating any holiday, just have a happy day.
And we'll see you next week.
Yep. And...
May the fish...
...be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.